It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Back in 2002, that's 21 years ago today, D.D. Ramone, not his real name, bass guitarist with the Ramones, died at the age of 49 years old, heroin overdose. He was the group's primary songwriter, writing a lot of the ones you might know. This one, Commando, a D.D. Ramone song. I could have played something from D.D. Ramone's solo rap album from, like, 1987, but I like you guys too much. Commando from the Ramones. D.D. Ramone died on this day back in 2002. Phil Wegman is with us on the program. Phil in Iowa over the weekend. He is White House correspondent for Real Clear Politics, Real Clear News. Find his work at realclearpolitics.com. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Philip Wegman. Phil, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Appreciate the time. The GOP 2024 Thunderdome takes shape in Iowa is the headline of the piece over at Real Clear Politics. 8 candidates accepted the invitation of Iowa Senator Joni Ernst to speak at Roast and Ride. I saw a picture of Mike Pence on a motorcycle. I saw you riding some bucking Bronco motorcycle thingy that you can find on Twitter if you want to see it. What was your sense of the candidates, their level of support, and how Iowa was opening their arms to them?
So my big takeaway from this event, which is just a traditional cattle call of presidential candidates, is that 2024 is finally happening. Next week, actually this week, we expect former Vice President Mike Pence to get into the race. And at that point, that will finish the cycle of expected candidates of getting in. We won't have any of these people who are waiting and seeing. Instead, we'll have a full field of all of the folks who plan on taking on Donald Trump for the nomination. And then the shadow primary will finally have come to an end.
You mentioned early in this piece, Phil, the field was more aggressive. More candidates began detailing differences with Trump. There has been a sort of argument that, well, none of these candidates really want to go after Donald Trump. They're kind of positioning for a cabinet post, or they don't want to get on his bad side, alienate his voters. But if they're playing to win, it has to be done. And it sounds like part of it started this weekend.
Yeah, that was what was pretty fascinating. On stage at Roast and Ride, it's an event that probably draws about 400 or 500 people to the Iowa State Ground. On stage, each of these candidates, they focused on laying out an affirmative case for themselves rather than critiquing the front runner. You know, Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, they all had different standard lines in their speech where it sounded like they might have been going after the former president, but they didn't make that explicit. And the reason why is, well, it's really simple. Donald Trump is the most popular politician in the Republican Party. And each of these candidates feels that if they go after him in public and they critique him in a way that's not so different from the way Democrats and liberals have been critiquing the former president, that's going to turn off the MAGA base. But what I found so interesting is off stage, each one of these candidates was much more willing to speak pretty frankly. And it wasn't that they were being duplicitous. It's just when you put the question to them, when you ask them, what's your main policy difference with Donald Trump, they're ready to give an answer. I think that's a significant shift in Republican politics that we just haven't seen for the last half decade.
Phil Wegman with us, Real Clear News, realclearpolitics.com in Iowa over the weekend. Let me ask you about two candidates who also had some national exposure this weekend as well, Phil. Nikki Haley had her CNN town hall last night alongside Jake Tapper. She was there. What kind of reception did Nikki Haley get from the Iowa faithful?
Nikki is always warmly received, but she does not have the same star power as, say, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. On paper, this is a candidate who should make sense. You have a two-time governor of South Carolina, a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, someone who has an inspiring life story. But she has struggled to gain traction against the likes of Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump. I think that the crowd was happy to see her there. Her politics certainly are more of a throwback to the neoconservatism, perhaps, of the Bush era. And I'm not certain, she's in a position to compete for the top spot in Iowa currently. Right now, she sits, I think, at about fourth place in the Real Clear Politics average, but she was warmly received. We'll see if she can compete there and then compete later in South Carolina and really jumpstart her candidacy.
Vivek Ramaswamy was on CBS this week on Sunday morning. He had a national interview there. Seems to be a candidate to me that people are curious about. Like, I want to know more about Vivek Ramaswamy. What does he stand for? What does he think? But people are intrigued by him as a candidate. Is that what you found in Iowa?
Absolutely. Ramaswamy is not taken seriously by the D.C. press corps. They'll have him on Sunday shows. They'll have him for interviews. And more than anything, they see his candidacy as an oddity. But the thing is, he has real support in Iowa. Is he gunning for the top spot with Donald Trump? No, not at all. Would I expect him to place second or third? Also no. But this is someone who is willing to go anywhere, to talk to anyone. And despite the reservations of the D.C. press corps, it seems like he's winning folks over. And the fundamental thing about Ramaswamy is he's pitching himself as an antidote to woke identity politics. There's a real appetite for that on the right now.
Let me finish by asking about the person who was not there, Phil. That's Donald Trump. Former President Trump was not there in Iowa this weekend. I believe every other candidate who has entered the race was in Iowa. Just curious, did you talk to anyone who was put off by that? Like, where's Donald Trump? Why isn't he here? Everyone else is here. Any of that from Iowans?
Yeah, some voters there thought it was strange that he had skipped the event. Trump had just made a swing through Iowa earlier in the week, but the former president doesn't like to share a stage with other candidates. That's why he avoided this event. And look, since he wasn't there to defend himself, other candidates were more than willing, when I put the question to them, to go after him. And when I asked Ron DeSantis about Donald Trump's remarks that half of voters don't know what woke means, he was pretty aggressive. And he said that answer from Trump shows that the president does not understand the challenge of a lot of this political correctness that conservatives find so odious.
Follow Phil Wegman when it comes to the White House. Follow Phil Wegman when it comes to 2024 as well, at Philip Wegman on Twitter. Also, realclearpolitics.com for his work as White House reporter for Real Clear News. Phil, thanks so much for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you, Scott.
More of The Steve Gruber Show up next.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes, or high blood pressure, you are at risk. MyPureHealth Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With MyPureHealth Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. MyPureHealth Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
I lived alone in this apartment, and I'd had trouble with my landlord. Basically, he was a creep. He kept coming on to me, and I kept saying no. Then one night, I'm sitting on my couch watching TV. My door, of course, is locked. But then I hear, it's my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
What's wrong? I hear your refrigerator needs fixing, and I figure while I'm here, maybe you can do something for me.
Out. Get out.
I'm offering you a good deal.
Out. And I'm reporting you.
All right. I'm leaving. Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Yes, sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. It's called the Fair Housing Act. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. And if you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.